apologize for not being here personally for quite some time. I've had some surgery and some problems, but we're back and we're on the air live, hopefully, if everything goes well. And we trust that you will receive a blessing with us. Our text for today is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 7. Chapter 20 of the book of Exodus is the chapter that has the Ten Commandments on it. And we're going to talk about one that I consider to be a major one of the commandments that we need to make sure that we understand before we can understand any of the others. So, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity once again to be back in the house of the Lord and be in services and to worship as we're commanded to do. We pray that Thou forgive us of our sins and bless us and use this message in a very special way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 20, as we mentioned a while ago, is where the Ten Commandments are found. And in verse 7, it says here, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, the very first thing that he's telling us to do, one of among the first, is to not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The name of God is my subject, and the Bible tells us in the commandment is to not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. In other words, we have to remember that the name of God is precious. And as we study and think about the name of God, we're reminded of the ways that His name is taken in the world in vain. We have people that will use Jesus Christ not as a word of worship, but as a curse word. We have people who take the name God and put it in a manner of cursing. We should keep in mind that the name of God, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these names are very special and very precious. And we need to be very careful how we express ourselves and make sure that we do not use the name of God as a manner of cursing or a manner of expressing ourselves in any way other than giving glory to God. One of the things that Satan has done is cause people who do not know anything about God, or people who deliberately take God's name in vain, to use the name as a sort of cursing, or to use it in such a way as to not give glory to God. We find the Bible has the name of God in different ways, and want to point out to these the reason, especially in the Old Testament, the names that was given to God and the meaning of those names, so that we can get a better picture of what the name of Almighty God is as given in the Bible. One of the first names that's in the Old Testament that speaks of God is Elohim. Sometimes it is in the Bible, E-L. That's the meaning, or the abbreviation, shall we say, of Elohim, and the meaning of the Hebrew word that's translated Elohim is mighty, strong, prominent, God the Mighty, or the Almighty God. All of these are mentioned in the scriptures as names that is given of God. And when the people of the Old Testament times, when they spoke the name of God, they spoke it in reverence and never used it in any way other than giving glory to God. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10 and verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." As you notice, it says here, He is God of gods. God of gods. He's Lord of lords. He's a great God. He's mighty. He's terrible, meaning one to be held in respect. And he does not regard persons nor taketh reward. That means that he doesn't look on some in greater respect than others. I remember years ago when I was in college in Lexington, Kentucky. We had a block in Lexington where a big business bought out all the, there's nothing but saloons and stores of that kind behind this department store, and they wanted to get rid of that, so they bought out the block so they could expand their store. And those people had to move out, and while they were moving out, I asked permission from the owner of the store to use one of the buildings that hadn't been destroyed yet for a week's revival meeting there in that area, in the hopes of getting some of those people into services. We did have some, and my wife talked with some of the women that worked in those places, prostitutes and so on. And some of them came in, and we talked to them, brought them into here services. My wife talked to them. And the next day, one of the ladies in the church said, "How can you talk to those women?" And she said, "How can I not to? That's what we're here for, to take the message to the lost and to tell the unsaved about a Savior." And so we went out and we talked to them. And this scripture that we just read is a scripture that tells us that he's a God of gods, he's Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty. And nobody is any better than anybody else. We're all sinners in the eyes of God. Many of us have been saved by the grace of God. Our sins have been covered by His blood. But we all were born just like everybody else and with the nature of sin. And so when we look out, we see people that are doing things that that we would not do and they should not do. That's because they need to know about a Savior that can take them from those things. And it's our duty and our responsibility to go and tell them about the Almighty God. The mighty God who is strong, prominent, the mighty and the Almighty God. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, it says here, And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We are privileged to be able to walk before God. And then we're told to live a godly life. Be thou perfect. He is the great God. We are to understand that He is the Almighty God, Elohim, as used there in that passage. In chapter 35 of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 35, I'll get there in just a minute. I'm still a little weak and nervous, and I do apologize for that. Genesis 35, and in verse 11, says here, And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. This is what God said to the children of Israel, who was to be His people, as we are His people. We who have been saved by the grace of God are His people. And He said, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. He promises to be with His people. And so He tells us to be fruitful. Tell others about the Lord. Again, in the book of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 50. And in verse 24. Genesis 50 and verse 24. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph knew that his ministry on earth was done, and that he would be dying. And he said to them, I die. He says, God will be with you. He will visit you and bring you into the promised land. Now this, of course, was Israel going from bondage and slavehood to a promised land that God had promised them that would be theirs. And as we think about that, the same message that He gave to them, and is a message to us. We're in a land of evilness and wickedness and things that are going on that are ungodly and all of that. And so we can hear Him as He spoke to, as Joseph spoke to his brethren and said what God would do. He said, God will surely visit you. God will be with you, no question, no doubt, and bring you out of this land into the promised land, into the land that He promised. You and I are waiting for that day when God will come and take us out of this land and take us into the promised land. The psalmist said about God in the book of Psalms in Psalm 91 and verse 2. Psalm 91 and verse 2, the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He's the one that I trust in. Isaiah said something similar in the chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah and verse 1. Isaiah 1:40, or Isaiah 41, sorry, 40, chapter 40 and verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. We're the one that we trust in. We will be comforted by God, and we will tell the people that he is the one that will comfort us. He's the one we trust in. As Isaiah said in chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, he said this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is the Almighty, the Mighty, the God. He is Elohim, Mighty, Strong, prominent. He's always with us. He's always where we are. He's a great God. He is the God. He makes promises. And he promises to take us. He's the one in whom we trust. He's the name of Christ. So the names of God are special names. They're not to be used in ordinary language. They're not to be used as curse and cursing and so on. When we speak of God to someone, we should speak of him in respect, in honor, and in such a way as they know that we consider him special and precious. His name is not to be used as part of cursing or even in substitute. I used to think that if I used the word G-O-S-H instead of G-O-D, I wasn't cursing, but that's just a substitute for the name of God. We need to be careful in the words that we use, because we may be taking the name of the Almighty God in vain. Another name that's found in the Bible is El Shaddai. That means God Almighty. Shaddai, the word Shaddai means one mighty to nourish, satisfy, supply, the all-sufficient one. And in the book of Genesis, in the 49th chapter, Genesis chapter 49, get there. Genesis chapter 49 and verses 24 and 25. "But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb." You see, Jacob here is talking and talking to his sons, and he said the archers had grieved him, and he said, "In his bow alone is strength." In other words, that's what he was saying. He says, when you go out in the name of God, you will have the strength you need in the battles that you have to fight. In chapter 28 of the book of Genesis, chapter 28 and verses 3 and 4, "And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful, multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people, give thee the blessing of Abraham to live and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." God Almighty blesses his people. God blesses and makes his people fruitful. The name fruitful actually means one with the fruit that is blessed. It doesn't necessarily mean that we'll be a millionaire, but we'll have the blessings within that is much better than all the millions that the world can have. And he makes us fruitful. He gives us the blessings of God. He's in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 and verses 15 and 16. Isaiah 60, verses 15 and 16. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, thou shalt suck the breast of the kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord and thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The Mighty One of Jacob. And in the Greek, in the New Testament, in John chapter 15, and verses 5 and 6, 5 and then 16, John 15 and verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And then again in verse 16 he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The fruit that we have will remain. We will not. I think about the blessings that God has given me through my ministry. I am now 85 years old. I've been preaching since I was 18. Been preaching a long time. And I've been blessed through the leadership of God to see a lot of things and to see people saved and to see missions open in other countries and all of those things. And all of it is just because God has been working in me, and I myself am not worthy. And that's what he says here in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. We at King's Edition, in many ways, in the eyes of people, we're a small church. But God has used this church for many, many years. There are churches all over the world, all over the country. We have been blessed to go into other nations, other countries, and take the message of God. We've had many preachers that have been called to preach out of this church. They're now out pastoring other churches. So God has used us. He's led us in ways that we don't even think about many times. But He has taken us who deserve nothing, we're sinners saved by the grace of God, and he's used us as a church and as individuals in a mighty way down through the years. In Revelation chapter 16, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 7, first of all. Revelation 16 and verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. True and righteous are thy judgments. Again, down in verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Satan is out trying to bring up people to go to battle in that great final battle with Almighty God, and they will, of course, lose. He is true and righteous. Again in Revelation 21 and verse 22 and 23, he says here, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." That's the description as given in Revelation of the country, the land in which we will be taken when our Lord takes us to be with Him. So He's El Shaddai, God Almighty, God who is mighty to nourish, satisfy, supply all that we need and all that we will ever need. Very quickly, another name that we want to look at is Jehovah. Jehovah. Whenever Jehovah is in the body, and the word Lord is in that scripture that's talking about Jehovah, the word Lord is all the letters, L-O-R-D, are in caps. Whenever you see it with the capital L, but the other three letters in small letters, L-O-R-D, then it's not using the name Jehovah. Because the name Jehovah means Lord in the caps, the existing one. It's never used as Jehovah of Israel or the living Jehovah, because there is no other Jehovah or no other Jehovah but a living Jehovah. Sometimes He's called Jehovah Elohim in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 13. Genesis 28 and verse 13. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. So to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." He says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The word Jehovah is used here concerning how great He is. So the name G-O-D is the name, is called the Lord, L-O-R-D, in caps, and then God of Abraham. God of Abraham. I am Jehovah, He says in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 43 Isaiah 43 verses 10 and 11. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." You see, it's all in caps. "My servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." He says, I am the Lord, Jehovah. I, even I, am the Lord. Verse 11. "And beside me there is no Savior." He is the Jehovah, the Almighty God. In Exodus chapter 3, He's called this. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. "And God said unto Moses," note that these are in caps, "I am that I am." He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The great I am. Again, in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it says this, Exodus 6, verses 2 and 3. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And then one last verse of scripture, Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 16. It says here, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well a stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. You see how precious, how special, how the name of God should be kept in respect by God's people. So let's make sure that when we talk, and we talk about God, make sure that we take God's name in the way that it should be taken. Use it for the glory of God, to tell others about the Savior, but not to be used in any way that is vain, or in any way that is not giving God the glory. Shall we stand and be dismissed?